I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 527. Beware of falling ice.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. A special one because we are doing some new things. One, we're live on Facebook, so there's some of you who might be seeing us right now. That's, hi. We don't do this normally, so deal with it. But for those of you who are not watching live on Facebook, you can go back to our Facebook page and check out the video. But we are doing our live table, our live round table. I haven't had coffee yet.
From PAX East,
I am so excited to be joined by some of our closest friends, new and old.
Yeah,
on too many levels, to talk about wonderful, wonderful PAX stuff. So let's do a round of introductions, and then we'll get right into it, starting with our friend Edie.
Edie Sellers from Game Hounds Podcast.
Chris O'Regan from Spong.co.
Robert, the DCD workman from WWG and Art Podcast.
Yep. And David here, also from Art Podcast.
And your King Baby Duck Evan Bargo from the Electric Sisterhood and Boston Bastard Brigade.
Doing double duty, as always.
Double fisting.
Everyone, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us for our round table. I'm actually going to jump right to our friend Chris because he's got appointments and things to do because he's special or whatever.
Yeah.
Busy.
Spawn.
Yeah. He's got things to do.
Things to do around a table.
And talk with us. But
yeah. Incompetence waiting for me at this next appointment. Yes.
Again, horrible, horrible
very
British accents, as we've discussed.
I have my balls washed.
All the way.
Wait, David, but, this table is not too light to...
Yes. I know it's, but let's not, because there's a lot of my gear that I bought on this
even
table.
Even more reason for me to flip it.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. But I definitely want to.
Make great TV.
No.
You'll be
that's
a
not, that's not. That's not how we do these things.
This is a TMP.
Okay? No.
It's a meme in the making.
No. Bad wrong. Badong. Badong.
There's other ways to make gifts, all right?
Exactly. This is not how we do it.
And they're wrong.
It's not Friday night.
I mean, it is very American, so he'd fit right in.
I take
do
it
you?
Back.
So, Chris.
Yes.
You've done PAX as much as we've done PAX.
Yeah, 2008 was my first one.
Yeah. And so, for this show,
yes.
What's really stuck out for you?
All right.
Yeah, I'm jumping right in.
Oh, games.
Besides having my balls washed?
I think she's talking about PAX as an event rather than the
yes.
games themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year of ...
Oh, I see. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm struggling with this one because there's not a lot of difference between this year and last. So I think...
It's a real stumper there.
I'm a stumper there. I believe it's become... it works. East really, really works as a venue, as a... event,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they have much need to change East, thankfully, because of the venue and its vastness and the fact that it's all under one extraordinarily large icicle-ridden roof.
Yes,
the ice. There are signs everywhere that says danger, falling ice.
Yes.
To warn you, so that you don't just get clobbered.
No, that did blindside me, I have to say, but it's maybe that's a good thing because I still think it's an excellent event, and I highly recommend anyone to come if they can.
I think what really draws everything together every year, it's always been about community.
Mm-hmm.
It's great seeing all these games and everything on the floor, of course, but it's all about the people you see.
Yes.
You
know?
Yeah.
There are great people that you see, and David.
Yeah.
So it really works out pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, like every year, it's always just great to I mean, even if there's like not a party going on, you can always go over to the West and find five or six different people that you can talk to for hours on end. Like the streamers, the podcasters, the journalists. I mean, there are so many different kinds of people covering this event. And plus, you really get to hobnob with a lot of these indie developers, too. And some of them are fantastic as well.
Yeah.
So it's just that kind of event that's really wide open for something like that. It's always great to see, like, your favorite games. Like, when's the last time we had a booth for fucking Bulletstorm?
What was that?
It's a competition thing to do with Skillshot. You can win, like, 10 grand. I mean, Gearbox went all out for it. But, like, EA didn't do shit when Bulletstorm originally came out. But now it's got its own booth. That's saying volumes for PAX.
It just shows how much love and respect that Gearbox has for the Bulletstorm name.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we know how good a game
it is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I played it on Xbox 360, and I still say it's still one of the greatest first-person shooters of that generation.
Yeah. And it looks amazing on PS4.
And I feel a little bad. I bought Bulletstorm on a Black Friday sale, and I never opened it. It's still on my shelf.
Shun the non-believer.
Shame.
Well, 5 minutes in. 5 minutes. That's first Game of Thrones reference. Take a drink, everyone.
That would have been great. That would have been great.
Okay, next year.
So I will, echo like what Robert says, like, you know, but more in a Bane accent. It's like, it's about you, the people. It's like, so it's definitely really, really cool, like, you know, with like PAX just being like a fan driven event. I was able to go to E3 for the first time last year and kind of like see the difference, so, you know, between that and PAX and just all the red tape you had to go through, like, you know, especially when you're like going as.
You mean the hoops of fire that people are going through now?
Yeah,
the fact that Rochelle and Evan weren't able to fucking go.
Right.
That's neither here nor there.
We're not bitter.
We're not bitter.
But also, like, you know, like all the like indie developers who were here, kind of like showing off their games, like especially like, you know, just like games that you just like never heard of, and like, you know, being shown for the first time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, I would say, like this year in particular has been like one of the strongest years for indie games, just with the quality of them and just you know, with the people and like their stories and their, you know, diverse backgrounds and everything. That's kind of what really struck out to me.
I stood on the Skybridge looking down, and I actually took a photo of the indie mega booth. I couldn't get it all in.
It's beyond. It's most of the floor now.
It is most of the floor now.
It just goes to show how much love that PAX East has for the indie industry.
Well, I think it's PAX period.
I think it's PAX. I'm with Evan on this one. I think that because, and you and I have this perspective that we go to both East and West, we can see the differences. PAX East is very rapidly becoming the indie showcase.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because if you'll notice on that floor, there are no. I mean, there's a. There's the AAA titles, but they're really small. Nintendo's got the Switch booth. That's the biggest thing. But they've got Mass Effect Andromeda down there for the multiplayer, and it's just kind of understated.
It's a small section.
Yes.
Whereas you go to PAX West, PAX the Prime,
PAX
I guess.
Prime,
or,
whatever,
yeah, PAX West, it is like front and center, 25-foot statues every which way.
That is true.
Dark,
actually,
booming loud. It's actually more like E3 than it is like PAX East.
The venue is different, though, isn't it?
It's a totally different venue.
Right.
And I think that this is a decision that PAX
is making.
But
the layout of the venue.
Right, because it feels...
It's sort of like when they're doing the PAX Philly thing with the tabletop. I mean, they're trying to set aside different shows that celebrate different cultures.
Yeah, and each of the PAXs are going to represent a different flavor of gaming, not just a location.
Which I think benefits PAX, like, overall.
Exactly.
Right, and it benefits the indie games because it gives PAX a chance to go, hey, these guys over here, I know you want the AAA titles. Go over to these folks because they have something that's gonna like rock your socks off.
That we're eventually gonna see in AAA titles. Eventually, they're gonna start incorporating all this innovative stuff that the indies have been doing forever.
Right.
And they were like, "Oh my god, I never thought about this thing. It's been in indie games for like 4 years now. Where have you been?"
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And like, we're ahead of the time in that because of our inclusive indie.
That's what I'm a little afraid of, is if it becomes too balkanized between, you know, AAA's going to West and indies going East, that you're not going to get the crossover of the AAA game seeing what the indies are doing and go, aha. Because that was what was, it was like 3 or 4 years ago that was the big moment when literally Sony executives were walking up and down the indie aisle going, we want that game on the PS4, we want that game on the PS4, we want that game on the PS4. They were just picking them.
It's like a shopping spree.
It was, yeah. It was like, we're going to find the best one, and everybody wins. It's like Oprah, sure. Like, you get a car, and you get a car, and everybody gets a car.
They're like taking, remember when Toys R Us would have like the thing for like buying the video games, and it's like, take the card, and
exactly.
That's what they're doing. Take this
that
card, we'll take this card.
And that's how we got so many good indies on PS4.
I mean, exactly. It's a great practice, and I don't think we're going to lose the indie side over at PAX West. I think we're still going to have that.
Oh, absolutely.
I think a lot more companies are recognizing E3's changing. Like, EA's dropped out. You know, it's like Rockstar, we're going to show Red Dead 2 at Sony thing, and whatever, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like E3's, and now, especially with the public thing, I have a feeling that E3's not going to work as well. So people are going to turn to PAX West as their show. So,
right.
I mean, it is going to be big in terms of getting attention and everything like that.
Yeah.
They're not going to forget about their indies. There are so many indie companies that go to PAX West and know the kind of audience they'll reach.
But they split the floors. I mean, you got level
they
six.
Did,
yeah. So.
Yes.
Right,
so
and that's the thing is that when you have that cross-pollination, it only helps the industry overall.
Yeah,
and when
yeah.
you start putting up lines and barriers
yeah.
where people that wouldn't necessarily meet are starting to meet, keeping that from happening, you're missing out on an opportunity of a dialogue between one mindset and another mindset.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the two major corporations such as E3 and Gamescom, and those don't really have indie because that's how they are. But the shows that have the public in them, like Eurogamer Rest and EGX, and so that's on the European side, but also on the US side, you've got PAX and other events related to
right.
Dragon
you know
Con,
Dragon Con.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of like my mentality. Like, I come to PAX East to play, like, all the indie titles, and then I go to E3. Well, I would go to E3, but...
You would.
We're not talking about that because we're not bitter.
Right. But what I'm trying to say is, like, I go to E3 to do the AAA stuff. I come to PAX to do all the indie stuff.
Right.
I think, like, Boston in particular is kind of, you know, slowly kind of becoming, like, a hub for, like, indie gaming in general.
Well, we got B-Fig also. So
oh, yes.
We get pre-exposure, and then we get PAX East later.
For sure. That's actually
and I've seen quite a few games that I've seen at B-Fig now in the PAX indie booth.
Yeah, and, like, you know, like, for me, like, being, you know, being local in Boston and everything, and also, you know, also, like, my buddy Danny Silvers, I'm also going to be doing, like, a panel with later today. He started, like, B-Fig and everything, so, like, you know, kind of seeing, like, all those indie games, like, you know, start from, you know, from, like, the ground floor with, like, you know, people, like, who are, like, you know, students and everything's kind of like learning game design. Like, all of a sudden I'm seeing them, like, you know, the following year at PAX East, and, like, it's kind of great to kind of see that eventual growth and, like, how these, like, small games that have, like, great ideas and great concepts, you know, kind of get that stage. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I agree. You know, and to Chris's point, you know, I think that really East has found its kind of flow. You know, there
it's battle rhythm, absolutely.
It really has, you know, between all of the different games that you can play, if you're not interested in doing the show floor thing, if you're overwhelmed by that, all the different rooms for different types of things. There are Hearthstone competitions going on, and there are throwback retro game spaces for people to hang out. There's more tabletop than I can even explore, which is awesome.
And then there's the AFK room when you just don't want to bother with anybody.
And you just need a moment, and you need a moment, because sometimes you need a moment, which is great. But to even have those kinds of things all in one space, and so many people flowing through that have their own fandoms and things.
What's really important about that, the one single roof thing, is the panel. So in West, you have to go all across Seattle in various hotels to find the panels. I mean, seriously, there's some that are three or four.
And then down the street to this.
Even further than that, I mean, three or four blocks away, you have to go to
you
some.
You have to literally get a taxi to go to your next panel.
Yeah. It can quite get that bad at West. Whereas here, it's just like, oh, I've got to go up the escalator. Oh, wrong one, never mind, I'll just keep going around.
Yeah. Cross that bridge and then go back up the escalator.
This event is definitely more contained. Even if something's happening next door at the Westin, it's next door at the Westin.
Yeah, but
it's a simple crossover.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'd really look forward to.
But something I hate about this, that I can't believe hasn't happened yet.
The weather always happens.
It's cold. It's not.
It's Massachusetts. We get cold.
No.
Welcome to the weathercast.
And I'm from California, but no, it's the fact that I am surprised every year how much the city doesn't know that this is happening.
Oh yeah.
This is the biggest convention, and it's like the Uber drivers, the Lyft drivers, they don't even know it's happening. It's like, how did you miss the last few
years? It's crazy. More people know about Anime Boston happening than they do PAX East.
Which is kind of sad.
And this is fun fact that I found out yesterday. The food concessions, for the annual food concessions, should say 75% of the annual food concessions that this convention center makes are made this weekend. That's a lot of food.
Yeah.
Yes. A convention center, 75% of their sales for the year is these 3 days.
Yes, 75% of people are buying their chicken fingers for $12.
They're $12, $12 hot dogs.
Oh, God.
Hey, here. Guys, they added Frito chili pie this year, so.
They stepped that game up.
Still no curry, though.
For $14.
Yes.
Holy
$14
shit. We used to sell those when I were kids as a fundraiser for $1.
Look, $14 and a trip to the toilet 5 minutes later.
Okay, yeah, you need to clean it up. That's what you
for sure.
Yeah, but can you hold it for an hour waiting
hey,
in line?
Hey, you know, that's a game.
That's dedication.
No. Yeah, all right. Yes, we're not. We're going to. Although there are poop games, and I will bring up shit on your friends at some point.
There's a game with shit on your friends?
Yes.
Have you heard of genital jousting?
Okay, we will get there. We will get there. We will get there. For sure. But I'm going to wrangle everybody back in. Focus. Daniel's son. So we are going to start with games that you've seen that you highly recommend people check out that they probably have not heard of from the show.
Like somebody who just showed up to PAX today.
Adam in.
Hello.
Yay.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Here. All right. So, again, I'm going to start with you, Chris, because I know we're running short on time. You do, because you're important or whatever.
He's late for a very important date.
He is. He's late.
I went to the blog earlier. Yes. Too much information. So, there's probably... When I've been asked this question several times over this weekend, I've gone a blank, so I've got the rabbit staring at because I've seen so much. And I've only just started to coalesce my ideas and started to write them down. And for me, I think it's actually two titles that have struck me. I mean, there's one I haven't... I mean, this is a side. I didn't cover some titles because I backed them on Kickstarter, so I can't do the transparency thing, so I already think they're awesome. and I think one person on this panel will be dealing with this anyway, so that's good. But... Or one of the games I backed. But two games, then. And there is a theme to both of them. Both are very, with a certain art style, very bright, very colourful, but also from two developers from a certain part of the world from which I also come. I am now the embodiment of The Edge magazine right now.
Get to it!
No.
Jesus Christ!
Screw you.
Now you see why
this
we talk
like
to
you. You're the one who said you had a time constraint.
The games will be out.
This is how you lost the war. Just sitting around talking about what you're
going to
do.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, just shoot the gun.
The games, yes.
So
this you pull the trigger.
This is why we talk
there's
to
there's a woman with a seal on the store. Pull the trigger.
All right.
Pull the trigger. Right, kill the trigger.
We're ready.
I'm waiting to absorb the knowledge.
The first game that struck me is... My favourite of the
Snake
show.
Pass, yes,
yeah. Snake Pass is a fantastic platform arcade game where you are a snake and you have to have to move the snake as a snake. So in other words, if you try and go straight forward, it will just sort of glide on really slowly. But if you shimmy left and right, it will actually go really, really fast. It's just, you can't jump, but you have to sort of basically grip onto things as you climb up. It's really ingenious. I first saw it at Eurogamer last year and really, really liked it. And they've got a new version out right now. It's very close to release, so... Yes, big thumbs up. Made by Sumo Digital, no less.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
They've
great.
Got a very good pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
And the other game is Loot Rascals, which is on the Sony stand.
Yeah.
Loot Rascals is a very, very fun game. It's a hybrid between video game and board game. It's obvious. Basically, it's... Well, I describe it to you, it sounds like the driest game ever. Because if you've seen it or heard it, it does sound really quite dry. Mm-hmm. In that you're this little space person, and thankfully a person. It could be male or female, and you are basically a janitor, for want of a better word, who's meant to go out and fix a terraforming device called Big Barry. It's actually called Big Barry, and it's all very northern as well. And you actually
sounds like a Douglas Adams character.
It's a roguelike, and then you go around on a hex grid, beating up monsters, and it's all turn based, very tightly turn-based, and that you move one hex, that's a movement, and you've got six movements per turn, and it sort of cycles from day and night, And if whatever happens with us during the day, you can attack monsters first, or if it's night time, they attack you first. There's lots of layers to it, but even worse, there's actually a card game running underneath it as well.
Oh,
so you have a grid of cards, and depending on where those cards are laid out, depending on what your own abilities are, you run your health.
Well, you activated their trap card.
There's a chess game that's happening.
Yes. And then there's other cards that you put on top of those cards.
And there's a little back game and
there are cards.
There's ladders underneath
it is all the things. And it's made by the same people who did Hohokam.
Okay.
Oh, I loved Hohokam. Yeah.
So,
is that going to be like a box quote, like all the things, like directly from?
So they're from London as well, so there's a bit of bias there, but nonetheless,
really?
I just those two games just enchanted me, and they're just. This that particular game, the art style is done by the same person who does Adventure Time. So,
Counter Rome.
Yeah, so yeah. It looks fantastic.
I know what Evan's going to go see.
Unfortunately, yes. It is tucked right in the middle of the Sony booth, so you can fight your way into that. Do go check it out, but it is actually out now.
Oh yes,
oh, it is.
So, Ben actually did a review, I believe, on the Electric Sister
so,
site.
Yeah, Rock Paper Shotgun did one too. So yes, and I've done a preview of it as well because I saw it.
And his were better, so like read them.
So yeah, but yes, there they go. That's my picks of the. Oh yeah, I've got 10 minutes now.
Yeah, you can't waste all that time.
So no, that's my input for this fine show, and also for PAX. I think it's been a fantastic PAX, typically my last day of PAX is going to Acquisitions Incorporated because that's a fantastic show thing, and I would recommend anyone watch it if they can. It never ceases to amaze me how amazingly large the tabletop area is.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, yes.
That's been growing too, honestly.
Yeah, I'm a massive tabletop board game fan too. And to see that vast area, when I tell people, ladies who don't know about PAX, they think it's just video games. I'm like, look at this photo evidence. Like, but that's alternative photos.
Look. See, this is why I wish that PAX East would take a cue from PAX West, have an extra day, because I would love to spend an extra day to play the tabletop stuff.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have the time.
And then you roll on the floor Monday morning.
Yeah. And I'd say that's one of the nicer things about PAX East versus PAX West is that PAX West tabletop stuff is all just hidden in all these rooms.
It's all
everywhere. Yeah. Whereas the tabletop here is all one big room.
Yeah. I'd say it's about a third of the whole show floor.
Yeah.
It's about finding like the hidden gems really like amongst all the madness.
And they're selling some really good games. There's Clank, which is a really, really good deck building game. If you haven't got it already, it's out on the show floor and they've got an expansion out right now. It's an awesome game.
Cool.
But yeah, that's my PAX East. Another big thumbs up. But my energy levels have actually reduced. And I had my cup of tea this morning. Instead of, nope.
No, PAX will definitely do that to you. But as always, we love having you on the show. So thank you for making time in your excruciatingly busy schedule.
He penciled us in. Just
right? Of course, absolutely. No, plug away. Please do.
So I'm the host of another podcast called The Sausage Factory, where I interview video game developers about them and the games they make. We've got 131 episodes up as of last Friday, just gone. And it's only us an hour. And if you want to know why games are made or how they're built, how the designers come up with the things they do listen to the show. It's called, like I said, just look up on iTunes, The Sausage Factory, and also pick it up at spawn.com as well.
Cool.
Nice.
Just the way you say it is like classic. Yes, sausage factory.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think of like a very fancy sausage on like a little like saucer plate. It's all elegant.
Right. It's not the one of your American Frankfurters.
I was going to say sausage factory, and it sounds like a porn show.
A gay
porn show. Yeah.
Sounds like
a porn
show.
Yes. Like it sounds like a place that I would want to go to.
Absolutely.
As always. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Having a great rest of your show.
Yeah.
All right. So for everybody else, we're going to shuffle around here. We're going to get cozy.
He's gone. Thank God.
I know, right?
He hasn't left the room yet.
We're so done.
What a dick.
He can still hear us.
Everybody. Oh, no.
He's still
there.
So
I thought he got the hint.
I mean, he's end of your segment.
Okay. All right, so now let's get to the real show since we got rid of the Brit.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. I'm just kidding.
You guys are right here, though.
I know. And now we have puppets.
Hey, babies. I'm in the pot.
To Jeff Dunham show.
You're in the right
state.
If you
want me to bring this on the panel, I'm just going to be there smarter than everybody. Yes. I want a new Bubsy.
Now you see what I have to do with everybody.
See, you can't, yeah, you can't do this at E3. You can't walk up, "Hi, I have an appointment."
No, there's no barriers. No, there's too
many. I'll pack and be like, "Yeah, dude, yeah. High five."
So, you could do it at E3 once.
Yeah. And don't do it at Sony's booth.
Oh, no.
Run.
All right. Yeah.
And then you're right. Walking
so,
back in.
Once.
So I'm going to hijack this a little bit because I just arrived at PAX. So, like, I have not had the experience.
Seriously, I've not seen you all weekend.
Yeah, because I literally showed up at 8 a.m. this
hasn't
morning.
Been here all weekend.
Because real life likes to be a bitch sometimes. So, I want to play the best game, worst game that you've played this weekend.
Best
like,
game? You, and another friend go see Push Me Pull You.
Push Me Pull You is really good.
Push Me Pull You for four people. It is. It's. It's okay.
It's fun with friends.
Yes. So here's the concept of it: is there you? There's two meat tubes with two heads on either side of the meat tubes.
Still sounds like a sausage factory.
Oh my god!
Sounds like a sausage factory.
Yeah, let her describe it.
I mean, Katie is selling this based on description alone. Oh, meat tubes.
Yeah, no, it's there's an element to it that there's nothing dirty on the screen, but when you play it, there it feels kind of dirty.
Yeah, sounds like kind of like general jousting.
Mount
or
your friends.
You
mount
switch.
Your friends. That moment of that discomfort, like oh, yeah, I don't know what I'm looking at. But uncomfortable like Mount Your Friends was.
Yeah.
And essentially you are wrestling with each other. It's like a soccer match where there is a ball in the center and there's two halves of the field. One team, which is two heads, the other team, which is two heads, and all the bodies in between them, and you're trying to keep the ball on your side. Each stick of the controller controls one head. So you have a head. You have a head, and I would have a head. We would be working together as a team to wrestle against each other to get the ball onto our side.
So it's like a three-legged race in some cases.
In some ways, yes. And it's really, really stupid, silly fun.
I like stupid, silly fun.
Right, where is this located?
It's either in Palladius or PAX Oz.
Okay.
I can't remember. I think it's PAX Oz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's in their travel.
I'll be
show.
Bringing that up very shortly.
Right,
too.
And then right next door to it is the best-looking game I have ever seen in my life. It is
so it's like the Ryan Gosling of games? Really.
Yes. Yes. It is the Angelina Jolie, Ryan Gosling, Brad Pitt all
fusion
of
it. Oh,
my.
Damn.
It's
wow.
Right.
But is it the Robert Workman?
It is. All of it. It is called Paper Bark. And it is a art. It's very early stages. They just kind of have it as a demo out right now in the PAX Oz booth. It is an homage to walking in the Australian forest. And I was astounded. When I looked at it, I walked over. It's a mobile game, and they have it on iPad. And I walked over. I'm like, oh, they don't have it anywhere, but they have some really cool. Whoever did their printing's really good. Mm. Then I picked it up and realized, oh, it's not a printing. That's the game on an actual iPad. I'm like, oh, that looks like a real iPad with a really cool game on it. And it's you know, with a Retina display.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing.
Like
wow.
Mind-blowing.
Wow, all right.
So it's not really much of a game right now, but it's a... I wouldn't call it a game. It's more like those experiential things like Journey.
Like Earwalk.
Flower. Yes.
Yeah, and Flow.
And this is Flow. Yeah, where there's an element of gaming to it, but it's really more a...
We want to make you feel stuff.
Right. It's an art piece.
Emotions. Right in the heart.
If at the very least, just go in and go, don't touch the screen because it's so pretty. It's too pretty. Too pretty.
So get like a frame just hanging on your wall.
Yes.
Very much.
Yes. I
have mounted iPads before in my house.
Book of this.
Okay.
I would happily have my wallpaper of
be
my
this?
Entire house be this.
Oh, wow. All right. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
It's
okay.
Gorgeous.
Okay. Definitely going to go by the PAX Oz traveling show
PAX
space.
PAX Oz is really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Yes. I'd love to go to PAX
it makes
Australia.
Me want to go to PAX Australia.
Well,
me
PAX
too.
Australia I has come to PAX East. They have a traveling
because they know
show
I'll never
brought,
afford Australia.
And they've got a section, and Guy Ugberger actually came and brought some of the games that they showed at Australia here. So definitely,
I want to go look at that because that's the closest to Australia I'll ever get.
All right, Workman, you're up.
So, like, best game.
Best game.
Well, I mean, I love the shit out of Bulletstorm, but that's not really fair. So, I can't get enough of Pyre. God, Supergiant's Pyre is so friggin' good. I'm really enjoying that. But I also played a racing game called Redout. Redout is, well, I mean, I played Fast RMX on the Switch, so I love, like, F-Zero style games and everything like that, and they're bringing Redout, well, they have it on Steam, apparently, but they're also bringing it to Switch, and, you know, any sort of F-Zero alternative we can get, because, you know, they're taking their sweet time bringing the actual F-Zero back, I will happily take, but, I mean, I love high-speed racers, and this one's done by a very small team, but it's beautiful. I mean, it looks like something almost on the level of the Wipeout games, you know, in terms of detail and everything like that. Yeah, so, yeah, find Redout when you get
to the board. They were at PAX West last year, too.
Yeah, they're everywhere. It's really great.
Really good.
And then there was this multiplayer game, I think Aftercharge is the name of it. It slips my mind because I've played so much this weekend. But it's basically a three-on-three thing, Invincible versus Invisible. And it's sort of like a tactical-based, team-based shooter and everything like that. And it's got some really cool tactics to it. I thought I enjoyed it there, too. And then, obviously, Bulletstorm. I was really surprised how good Voodoo Vince Remastered looked.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're bringing it back. You know, the remaster was 60 frames a second. If you go to the booth, the creative director, the guy who originally created the game, is there demoing it.
Yeah, I saw him there.
And he is, I got an interview with him for our podcast. Yeah. Hey, he is a really cool guy. And he will walk you through the demo, and he'll show you, like, all the love that they put into the game. You know, normally I would hawk AAA games, but, I mean, like, having Voodoo Vince back is pretty cool. Better than Blinks. So
his time will be next.
soon. No, Klonoa. Bring back Klonoa.
Klonoa would be awesome.
Year of really good remasters, because another good remaster that's coming out is the Full Throttle remaster. Looks awesome.
Yes. Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you beat me to it. Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
All the remixes, they're
really good. It's really good. It looks like a lot of fun.
Well, I know. It's the music,
all that stuff.
It looks like a lot of fun. I'm really pleased with that. But, God, I keep coming back to Pyre. Like, Supergiant has this exquisite art style that really shows in their games. And their gameplay. Yeah, they always get better with gameplay, too. I mean, it's just so good.
Yeah.
Still no release date, but I'm like, I want it.
They can do no wrong, honestly.
They really can't. I mean, you know, they can do a driving game, and it'll probably be amazing.
That's probably next on the agenda, because each of the games are so different from
it. Do something like Rock and Roll Racing. Do it.
Yeah. I'll totally do
it. But, yeah, I'm going to have to say Pyre, but there is, like, so many good indie games. I still got to see some that Evan recommended to me, and I'm going to go see that. Push Me, Pull You without sounding like a pervert. In fact, one of the funniest things, we were talking about Conan Exiles, and like we're going to do an interview and everything like that. How many sexual innuendo jokes can we slip in here? Did you go to great lengths when you were developing? You know, it's like, so we don't want to sound like sexual. But yeah,
what is all like sexual jokes? All right. Adam, how about you? Best game?
It's tough to choose. I mean, like he said, Bulletstorm. It's hard to not say the AAA titles. Like the new Quake, I got to try it.
Quake Champions.
Oh, so good. I can't wait for that.
So much fun.
But I'll try to shout out to the little guys. I was blown away by how small this team was and how in-depth they made this game. It's called Space Wars, Interstellar Empires by Shredder PR. It's a team of five people, and it's so hard to kind of describe. It's kind of like Civ 5. And StarCraft had a baby, almost.
Wow. Okay.
It's just so crazy. You can tell they pulled a lot of inspiration from the popular Interstellar series, like Star Trek. You can see some definitely influence from there, from Protoss, Zerg, for sure, from StarCraft, of course. Each server, there are four factions. Two of them are playable right now. It's going into beta. I guess they're technically in alpha right now, but soon to be beta. Two factions are playable, basically the Terrans, Earth people, obviously, and some people that kind of resemble the Clintars. Not Clintars. I'm thinking Marvel Comics really quick. Sorry about that. I don't know Star Trek too well.
Your nerds are blending.
It's hard to so well. But anyway, basically you start, there's different classes of ships from Starfleet 1 to 10. Obviously 10 being the best, and those are like your giant behemoth-type ships. But you basically start, I think they said there could be 8 to 16 players on a server. They can be all on the same team if they want to, or different teams, and you're basically fighting for territory. You gotta plan your ship's resources well to travel. You can warp in if you see another battle going on to join in to help your friends. And it's just, the depth of it is just so crazy for a 5-people team. I was just blown away by the dedication that they have for it. I'm really stoked to see where they're going to go for it, especially when they introduce the other two races you can play. I'm a big Zerg fan from StarCraft, so the last one they're going to introduce is their Zerg type called the Hive. It's going to play dramatically different from the other races because they're organics, so they basically absorb what they defeat to help them heal and grow, and it just sounds interesting.
Wow.
Very cool.
And of course, what people have been saying this year is the great for remakes. Windjammers.
Yeah.
The old Neo Geo days.
We don't say the W word around Dan. It freaks out on a whole new level.
The hype is real.
It is. The 80s is there. It's neon colors and beach. It's just great. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, geez, you bro.
Crash Bandicoot, of course, as we mentioned before. The music is all there. The original sound effects. It's great. But obviously, the graphics are nowadays, and it's just great. Yeah, I've just seen so much. And, of course, Xbox is showing off Mass Effect Andromeda.
Mm-hmm.
Just the multiplayer.
Yeah, but it's fun. True. It's fun. It I'm surprised good. How fun
you,
it is with
you
the
might be
survival.
A fan.
I might be with my...
Right. Yeah,
you realize
that. The best game I saw on the Citadel.
Mass Effect 3 multiplayer.
Mass Effect 3 multiplayer was great.
I love it. I still play it.
Yeah. It was fun.
So tell me what you think about that, because I haven't put my hands on it. My co-host did, and he's like, I hated the multiplayer anyway. So I couldn't really get...
Was fun. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it was a great multiplayer. The big thing that kind of dropped off, though, is how tight it was into the single player.
Yes.
That was a big reason why a lot of people played it, was to help your single player campaign. And of course, with Mass Effect 3, you know, hubbub that everyone knows, the ending kind of fell flat.
Really?
To say the nicest thing.
Now, question. Can you have sex with the other players in the multiplayer?
Well, then, of course.
That's not the kind of game we're looking for.
This is not the kind of podcast we run here.
Don't get me wrong. People are very excited about the full-on nudity now.
Three words, gentlemen and ladies. Softcore space porn.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, you get an achievement for shagging three people. Oh,
I already have my special towel ready. It's my me towel.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I guess this is the kind of podcast we're doing today. I should have had some coffee.
No, but go back to the multiplayer. That was the big downfall. I mean, once people beat it, they saw the ending. Obviously, everyone had a different opinion about it. So a lot of people didn't go back to it. So multiplayer died off kind of quick with Mass Effect 3. Mm-hmm. With Andromeda, I am curious if it's going to tie into single-player campaign, if you do get bonuses or whatever.
It's not been revealed yet?
I'm not too sure. I could be a little late to hearing if it does.
It does tie in.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right. Well,
it's just so close to release. Imagine more information will be out there.
You'd think.
They don't need
speaking
to.
Speaking of.
They don't need to.
EA
the hype
EA
is too. Yeah.
That hype is real.
Yeah, the hype is real.
Oh, it is. And EA Access did announce today. If you sign up for EA Access, you can start playing on Thursday.
Wednesday night.
You'll have a 10-hour time frame to get in there and play it. I would probably waste most of that time just trying to design my character, knowing me.
Yeah. Want to take a day off?
I'm definitely going to be doing it because I'm a huge Mass Effect fan.
I got to make this Krogan sexy.
Yeah. But I will say, the new multiplayer for Andromeda, it seems a lot smoother. I mean, Mass Effect 3 was smooth already, but with the jumping and the dashing, now that they've introduced it, adds a whole new element of quickness, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's hard not to acknowledge it. They're doing a great thing with it. Yeah.
Seems like that one change is makes such a huge difference, in the combat and everything. Just everything I saw.
Absolutely, yeah. It's funny how you think one little mechanic can really change things, but it adds a whole different elevation to it. But you can get above enemies, do a huge ground pound on them, depending on what class you are. So it can add a lot of tactics to it.
Turned to Pharah from Overwatch, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, Overwatch with a new character coming out, that's going to be fun. But I don't think she's on the floor, sadly.
Nah.
So let's mention that. But
is she at least waifu material?
If you like robots, maybe.
Isn't she also kind of Nigerian goddess princess esque looking?
Robo
designed
kind of thing.
Guitar, so I don't know.
This is a no judgment zone.
Yeah.
All things are welcome.
Yes, of course. All mechanical and biological life forms are welcome.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm sorry for that. I'm a huge Overwatch fan too. Blizzard, it's hard to go wrong with Blizzard. So,
yeah.
You
know,
yeah.
They got their own space here too as well.
Exactly, yeah, their whole booth. I mean, it's all merchandise, but all their games are...
We went to their party yesterday. They had something for a new character we can't talk about yet, but they gave us a cool signed Diablo 3 poster.
Look at that.
If you were here, you could win it.
Wow.
The jelly is definitely.
Well, technically, that's a spoiler.
The jelly is real.
Yes, the jealousy is real.
And these Diablo coins, which are pretty amazing from the BlizzCon.
Which is also part of the giveaway I'm doing.
So, yeah, I mean, Blizzard knows how to take care of people. And even if they have a small thing here, I mean, just the fact that, you know, they care about their fans enough is really cool.
So much. Mm-hmm. So much.
Well, they have Blizzard money, they can care about
This is true.
I mean, Diablo coins practically need currency at this point.
Exactly.
Can I get a burger?
Justice.
Hey, work with John Wick. It'll work here. Give me a burger.
They're definitely one of the companies that listens to their fan base.
Yeah.
Listens closely and tries to reflect what they hear.
Well, I mean, when all those voices are super loud and you can't really hear anything else, what else can
this
you do?
True.
Sorry, I don't mean to be loud.
No, but I mean, I just believe that Blizzard is a very vocal, they just have a very vocal base. As soon as something doesn't feel right, they are the first one to be like, this doesn't feel right. What did you do different?
And fashion is so nerfed.
It's like I'm seriously too OP, so I need you to fix this now. My ratio of drop is just not right. I just
shuddered internally.
I've been that person.
I've been
there,
and I'm very uncomfortable right now.
I've written several angry letters to Blizzard about their drop rates. I have been that person.
Actually, I just realized that's not the big news. None of this is the big news of PAX. The big
I know. What is the big news?
Is it somebody is releasing a cartridge for SNES on the floor this year.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yes.
What?
I've seen that in the past.
Also NES. Yeah. I did see...
Is it the NES or SNES? Like, yeah, I thought it was
Haunted Halloween. That's what game you're talking about. So I did see an NES.
It's a Haunted Halloween 86.
Haunted Halloween. Yes.
Haunted. NES.
That's... Yeah, see,
yeah, we saw it in the last pack.
Yeah, they're actually...
NES. We had them on the... On our podcast.
Yeah, we had them on our podcast.
Awesome. The fact that...
game, not think about.
Yeah, 86.
Yeah, Haunted Halloween 85, and now they have 86. And yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
It's really
it plays
cool.
Great. It's two player, and I do like how it can be two player, single player, very flawlessly.
Mm-hmm.
All you gotta do is just press select. If you're single player, if you're because it's between a boy and a girl. I forgot their names at the moment, but
does it matter?
It does not. But so male, female. If your health is getting low, which you can tell by the colors of the person's skin, the greener they get, the more close they are to a zombie and being dead.
Yeah.
If one person gets low, you can just press select, switch to the other person, full health, keep going. Mm-hmm. If another person wants to plug in, they just plug in, press select, boom, two players right then.
Nice.
So like easy drop in, drop out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I mean,
Friday 13th.
So continuing around the table because we haven't finished everybody with best game yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'll run through four games real quick here. Actually, so probably the best game I saw on the show floor and I played also was Battle Chasers. So apparently this is like based on the comic. I actually learned that from Lana Pierce over at IGN. She kind of like informed me on that. But based on the way that this game looks, like think of like Dragon's Crown in a lot of ways, like a very like painterly kind of style and absolutely gorgeous looking.
Nice.
It's really eye catching. It's a traditional JRPG, very like a little bit more strategic elements to it. So with the demo that I played, they might have like more characters. I imagine they will, but they had like three characters, and like even like the most basic things like your attack and defend, they each do very differently from each other. Like, you know, for like defend, like one person might just like block, another person does like a parry that beats up like their attack and everything. And it's really cool. And like each time you go into like a dungeon, you can pick like between like three different difficulties, and the more difficult you get,
the sweeter the loot,
the better the loot and everything. Yeah. And I played on like the legendary, like most difficult one, just kind of see how difficult it is. And it really is difficult.
How butthurty is it?
It's not at all, actually. It's and yeah, trust me, I speak her same language. So trust me. But it's really really cool, and you know, definitely the challenge is like, you know, just good enough, like where it doesn't feel frustrating at all. It really makes you think each and every move you do, because again, like each character feels very different, even with all the basic attacks. And another thing too, each character has basically like super moves, basically. So you have like a burst meter, you've like fill that up.
A limit break, if
a
you
limit
will.
Break, basically, yeah, pretty much. But like they're done in a very like cinematic sort of way. Again, all kind of falls into the amazing art style of the game. So that's definitely one like to look out for. I'd say.
And let's mention here, this is a THQ Nordic game.
Yes,
and they just rebranded, and they actually have a huge presence in the floor.
They do.
I was actually shocked about that. For PC, they bring back Scene Mora for Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
I play
that
too.
Best shooters.
That
was really good too.
Wow.
And Battle Chasers is a big part of their booth.
For sure. Yeah. They have a great showing on the show.
Oh hell yeah! And they brought Darksiders, just in case you missed it.
They did. I also have to mention Grid right here. So right off the bat, Grid is another very visually appetizing game, we'll say. It's basically Star Fox infused with...
You had me at Star Fox.
Yeah. It's basically Star Fox infused with, like, 80s visuals and, like, synthwave soundtrack. And
oh, my God.
It is...
It's like... I'm getting, like, Thumper with...
Yes.
Yeah.
Think of Thumper, but definitely with the Star Fox, like, flying around, like, rail shooter.
Do a barrel to this EDM beat.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. And, you know, you have, like, this giant, like, basically Andross-like head pretty much, like, taunting you the entire way. Like, kind of think of, like, if you remember, like, Sinistar in a lot of ways. Like, he's kind of constantly taunting.
Not nearly. He probably just nagged you like your mother-in-law. You know, you didn't do the dishes.
We do a retro gaming podcast, so, of course, we have to mention, like, all the retro gaming references here. But yeah, it's essentially Star Fox infused with, like, 80s visuals and, like, synthwave soundtrack, awesome. And it is absolutely amazing.
I'll check it out today.
Okay. Another one, Asura. So this is, I'll just kind of read the back here actually for it. So Asura is a roguelike game with procedurally generated a skill tree inspired by Indian mythology. So I actually had the pleasure of meeting the one of the developers of the game. It's actually a two-man team that works on this. They're both from India, so like they're bringing like their Indian like you know, like mythology, like their knowledge of that into the game, where you play as like a demon. Basically, it's like a top-down like hack and slash roguelike basically game, and it's very very difficult. You have like randomly generated bosses that come into play, so like a little bit of Enter the Gungeon to it as well. It's super hard because like you can do something stupid like run into like a lantern or something, and all of a sudden like the awesome like bow and arrow that you picked up is burned off, and you're just like back to your basic like materials. So at any given moment, you can just like flat out die, because even some enemies will just like hit you, you'll be in a stun state, and then other enemies will start hitting you too. So one hit is essentially like four or five hits in some cases. Very tough, but like very very satisfying, like when you're like moving along in it too. So,
like Demon's Souls,
like kind of Demon's Souls ish, or some Demon's Souls ish type of elements to it. And last game I'll mention here too is Russian Subway Dogs, because it's absolutely adorable.
Not Ninja Turtles.
No. So I spoke with the developer about this too, and he basically got the idea from going to subway stations in Moscow, where he would literally see these packs of dogs going around trying to steal food off of people, and so that's where the concept of the game kind of comes in. So you play as a dog, and you can pick between like different dogs and everything. They even have some cameos, like the This Is Fine dog with the coffee mug and everything. he's in there, and you like pick a dog. You're just trying to basically bark behind like pedestrians, make them drop their food, and like leap up and grab it before the other dogs get it as well.
That's awesome. It's a dog eat dog world.
And that's called Russian
Subway Dogs.
Russian Subway Dogs.
Yeah. So you have like some people like who are holding like what look like burritos. I'll say burritos for the sake of it. Also like us, other people hold like vodka bottles, of course, because it's Russia. And so like when you bark and like have them drop like their vodka bottles, it blows up. So like you want to be away from that, but it can help like with getting like other dogs out of the way.
Away from the food. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So
where is that located?
That is it's in the area that's not the mega booth. It's like I think it's near where like THQ Nordic is.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you hang around there, it should be right there. For sure. But yeah, really, really adorable game. Cool like art style to it as well. It's kind of like show right there. Kind of like pixel art, but like in its own cutesy kind of way.
Oh, that is cute.
You know. So yeah, if you love dogs and you love stealing food, then that's definitely the game.
I do love both of those
things. Exactly. If you don't care for the Russian food. Sorry, Trump. But yeah, for sure. That's those are the main games I saw. So.
All right, Evan, you're up.
Okay. I gotta just quickly process everything.
You've had plenty of time.
I know, that's the last one.
Yeah, he's doing the thing. Yes, yes. Games?
Yes. Games are good, yes.
Okay. So first off, I want to return to the Australian booth, because the very first game that I played here at PAX East was one that is the one I've been trying to tell everybody to check out, and it's called Think of the Children. Hmm.
I saw that and did not put my hands on it. Tell me about it.
So Think of the Children is a game...
Touch the children. No.
She's just getting games and not playing. She's getting games and not playing them.
Yeah. Okay. So Think of the Children has you play as parents who are either like throwing a party or at a beach or at a supermarket. And you're trying to get things put together. But at the same time, you got to make sure that your kids don't kill themselves over these stupid hazards, which are like eating poisonous berries, drowning in the pool, being run over by the car, eaten by sharks.
It's parenting the game.
It's parenting the game.
Oh my God.
It's basically, it's the opposite of party hard.
I was going to say, it's the opposite of party hard. You're trying to keep suicidal people from themselves.
Wow. You're trying to keep your kids from doing stupid shit and killing themselves.
That is awesome.
It is, hands down, one of the most fun party games I've seen in a very long time.
I think Lemmings in my mind.
And you can either grab the kids and like get them out of the way, or you can like grab them, spin the right control stick, and just fling them away.
Yes, because that sounds safe for kids.
Well, and apparently, Evan's going to be single forever.
No, you're not.
Kids are so much fun.
Now, I feel like a forever alone.
Okay. but there are a couple levels where there are different other elements to it. So when you're in the supermarket, you have to grab all the proper groceries while you're trying to keep your kids in line. But there is something called an embarrassment meter on the top.
And if you fail
the embarrassment meter the entire way before you grab all your groceries, you're thrown out of the store.
I was about to say, like, do you want to be embarrassed in front of this?
Yes, it is real life.
It's really like apparently.
What do you mean I have to wear pants in this store?
Put your clothes on right now.
But the studio, Jammed Up Games, they created this title in a 48-hour game jam. And it just grew from there. And
there's a lot of games on the floor that are coming from game jams. From one of them, that was another one that I saw that's called Deckbound Spears, which is super, super fun. Another game jam that was literally done years ago. Mm-hmm. He put it aside and then came back to it and goes, you know, it's kind of cool. All these game jams, it's all the game jams of in the past are starting to come to fruition.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, this has potential to be, like, the next big party game. It's going to be coming out on PC, Mac, and Linux first. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to be bringing it to Xbox One, PS4, and Nintendo is talking to them right now about bringing it to the
Switch. Dude, seriously, like, come this for me to buy it for the Switch. This is a fun game. Kids, look, I can fling you across the parking lot.
It's like, Mom, what are you doing? It's my therapy. It keeps me from murdering you.
But there's also...
And don't just be a lesson. No more Mario Kart.
But there's also going to be a single-player element to the game, too. So the single-player aspect has... The story mode is that you're in court for child endangerment.
I wonder why.
Depending on how well you do in the game depends on what the outcome of the trial is going to be at the end.
So you get to see what they're like growing up.
You're either going to keep your kids
or not keep your kids.
Gonna take them away.
Or lose your kids.
Or they're dead.
So again, you must think of the children.
Yes, you must think of the children.
I have to play this now.
It is amazing. And so that's one game. The other game that really got my attention, and DCD can vouch me on this one, Mother Gunship.
I have heard wonderful things about it.
It's nuts.
It is insane. So it's a first-person bullet hell game.
Oh, gosh.
So you go from one area into another, and as soon as you walk in, shit just happens. Like, you get shot up, lasers, fireballs, you gotta take everything out. What I love about this game, too, is that you can customize your weapon like crazy. Like, you can have, like, a gun that has 13, like, barrels in it and fire away. But you have your stamina meter, or whatever you want to call it. So if you have 13 barrels...
I'd imagine that'd be heavy, so that's already an induced, like, stamina on you.
So if you start out the game with the 13 barrels, as soon as you fire it, it overheats.
Okay.
But as you progress through the game, you can earn more, like, stamina and such to help it so you don't overheat, which is one shot with the 13 barrels.
Is it comparable to, like, Tower of Guns?
It's from the creator of Tower of Guns.
When I think first-person, like, bullet hell, like, that's instantly what I think of, so.
So this is basically them going to the next level, and it's in its earliest stages. It doesn't have a release date yet, but I can tell you that this one's going to be one that you're going to be seeing a lot of people play online. It's going to be Twitch like crazy.
Yeah. Cool.
It's going to be super fun. I would say the other game that I really want to give a shout out to, and it's from a company or developers that I've been loving these past couple of years, Zoink Games. They're the same people who did Stick It to the Man and Zombie Vikings.
Yeah. I love Stick It to the Man.
And they have a new game coming out called Flipping Death. Basically, you're going between the land of the dead and the land of the living. You're this character, Penny, who gets murdered by her boyfriend, and you're trying to, like, try to solve them. Well, you're trying to solve the murder and try to get revenge and, you know, move on to your next level, the unfinished business. But you're also helping out other spirits who are helping out, or they're trying out these other, like...
But they're also kind of stuck, so you're trying to help them do what they need to do.
Thank you. Sorry, it's a little...
It's like Ghost Dad.
Yeah, but better. So, and this demo...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Go Cosby.
Michelle for a minute there.
No Cosby. No Cosby.
So in the demo, I'm helping this sea captain finish his unfinished business with him trying to paint his boat because he got murdered because his wife found out that he was having an affair, which he found out because he named his boat after the fucking mistress.
And that's why you don't do it.
Is this a video game or a soap opera?
It's both. Why can't it be both?
So what you do in this game is, in the spirit world, you try to find other humans, and you zap into them, and you possess them somewhat. Like, you could be a priest, and, like, you could be throwing holy water at everybody, and it's funny because different people have different reactions to what you do to them with the human characters.
Very much like humanity.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking of Ghost Trick a little bit.
A little bit. And for this one, I had to find, like, a paint can. I had to, like... drill a hole, so I had to find a dentist. And what's really funny too is you can hear their thoughts while pushing the L button, and they just have some of the funniest internal monologues.
Yeah.
Like when you play as a dentist, you hear the internal monologues like, you know, in my career guy sort of thing, when I told him to be, I did say that I hate germs and cavities. I underlined it 5 times. Why did they still make me become a fucking dentist?
Who else did that? I think it was a Adult Swim game where, like, you could, when you were the head, and you could, like, jump onto other bodies and then talk to the other. And they would have great, like, conversations. Like, the rumors were like, we're going to overthrow the Lords, like, any day now. The revolution is coming. And you're like, what? Oh, great. Like, I love that stuff. It's so intuitive. And, like, it builds on the world.
I'm glad you mentioned Adult Swim games because, oh, my God, I forgot all about... one of my favorite games of the show. Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove.
How could you forget that?
I got to play with Greg Johnson, the co-creator of the series.
Nice.
That's really cool.
So good.
Although I did play too, it reminded me of how terrible I was on the Sega Genesis version.
Kept falling off the edge. Yeah!
Floor number one.
Into a dance battle. Suck.
But yeah.
I'm going to stay on this planet.
But yes, Flipping Death... there's no release date yet because Zoink Games is also working on Thee for EA Games. So they're doing that first before they finish with Flipping Death.
Cool.
But I'm very excited because I love Zoink Games. They've kind of become what Twisted Pixel used to be in the last year.
Oh, yeah.
I can totally see that.
What happened to
them? There's a new VR game that they're working on.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it's got the same sort of humor that was Twisted Pixel's, like, trademark.
Explosion. Yeah. Cycle maybe.
Yes.
By the way, speaking of whatever happened to Shadow Warrior 2?
It's still coming.
Well, it's out on PC. It's on PC already. But
yeah, they're releasing it for console, but they're waiting to, like, make sure everything's smoothed over for the summer.
Devolver wanted to focus.
Yeah, it's still coming. It's just they wanted to focus on their indie stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
I asked to.
All right. Yeah. Which, by the way, Ruiner?
Yeah, Ruiner was great.
Oh, man, Ruiner is...
My turn!
Your turn, go.
My turn!
So I have two games that I have played that I've absolutely loved, and I've become addicted to them, so I've gone back to the booth to play them twice. The first one is a game that's called... Just Shapes and Beats.
Oh, yeah.
I almost named it, but I knew you were going to bring it.
They had that at the show like for the last couple of years now, and every time they always get this great crowd, especially the Mortal Kombat stage.
Yes.
Where these kung fu fighters just fly out of friggin' nowhere.
Wait, Shapes and Beats?
Yes.
It's Just Shapes and Beats. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this
they're
is
not by Dre,
year.
Though, right?
No, they're not by Dre. So the game is Just Shapes and Beats, and it is a multiplayer game. So it's a party game, and I played with 3 other guys, and so you are a shape in space, and it is basically a
rhythm bullet hell game.
Mm-hmm. You avoid all these attacks that come in towards you.
Exactly.
And they come in such stylish things.
Can I speak?
I'm sorry. I've seen the game 19,000 times.
I know.
Yes, dear.
It's my spot
it's
now.
It's new to her.
I'm here for you.
It's bad new right time. I am sorry.
I am the captain.
Dude, I have interrupted everybody so far, and I'm here, quiet right now.
I am the captain now. I am the captain.
I'm being quiet. I know
but
that.
Yes, to Robert's point, there are enemies that appear on the screen, and the music that is in the game is very much trance, EDM, electric.
Like Child of Eden?
More so than Child of Eden. Mm-hmm. So,
like maybe Rez, Child of Eden,
So take Hardwell and put him in a game.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Just put like Hardwell and, you know, maybe throw some Galantis in there. Ooh, and that's your soundtrack for everything that's
Galantis
coming at you. So a lot of
fucking raw.
You know, bass pounding EDM. And the rhythm comes in that all the enemies that you see that are throwing pink things at you are moving along to the music. So you want to rhythmically be watching what's happening on the screen, because you will have areas that will pop up from all different directions, not just the enemies that are moving around the screen, throwing particles at you that you must avoid. As you start taking damage on your shape, you start to become opaque. You start losing your color. So once you become
I don't want to lose my color.
Yeah, don't lose it. Don't lose it. Black cards revoked.
Racism.
I had it. But it's really interesting, because you are both watching out for yourself on the screen, but you're also watching your teammates, because if you become too damaged, you'll require help, and like there'll be a bubble and it'll say help, and you'll start floating off the screen.
And they can come help you.
They can come help you and revive you, which
or
is
be
great.
Dicks and not.
Right. Which so many people, you know, because when I went, the developers were there, but they weren't explaining anything about the game. They just wanted people to naturally kind of walk up, pick up the controllers, and play it.
That's the best way to do it, really.
Which is awesome. And so, like, enforcers were having a hard time because it was... It's
so, like, people are, like, want to watch
and want to watch and play, and they're trying to figure it out themselves, and, you know, they're wanting to play as well. So enforcers are like, guys, you got to get closer, because we've got to be able to get people through. And we're like, well, I'm up next. And it was great, because they allowed everyone to play through all three levels. And so, and you got to the special bonus level, which Robert did mention, which was the Mortal Kombat techno theme song. Yes.
I was like hearing that on the show for
a while. Yeah. So that's what it is. Mortal Peep Fight. And so what's awesome about that is, you know, most of the enemies that appear on the screen are very much cartoon character type things, you know, monsters with big arms and stuff. But the special level being Mortal Kombat, they have actual human figures taking Mortal Kombat poses, flying at you.
That's awesome.
So, like, there's
Liu Kang's bicycle kick.
There's bicycle kick that comes through, and yeah, the uppercuts, which are awesome.
I'm not
and they have
yell at me again.
But there are uppercuts that fire multiple lasers. So it is like a harrowing experience. So if you enjoy rhythm-based games for sure, and you enjoy party games, it is a fantastic experience. I highly recommend, if you haven't checked it out on the show floor, to absolutely do it, because it's just fun. It's an
and
easy pickup game.
Rhythm. I hate rhythm games.
Is it because you don't have
love
any?
This game.
It's just
it is a rhythm game that is great for rhythm game players. It is a rhythm game that is great for people who hate rhythm games.
And now everybody else can speak because I've done my
rhythm is gonna catch you.
Okay, we gotta
can we really just bring up Miami Sound Machine?
That's
because happened. That's the median age of this room.
That's right.
Word.
No judge.
Okay. Safe space. No judgment. No judgment. And so that's kind of like my super fun. I've been to their booth I think 3 times now. Every time I walk by, I'm just like, I'll take another card, but I just want to get to the Mortal Kombat one. And what's really cool is that, you know, if you get to a point, you know, as you're going through the game, you have checkpoints, very much like Amplitude. You know, so if you fail the section, it would restart you at that checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that when you fail, it actually rewinds like old VHS.
Like, oh no, you're not good enough. Keep going.
Yeah, and you got to start again.
Thumper kind of does that too. If you don't nail the precision right, you are doomed to repeat it until you get it right.
It's just, it's really interesting and, you know, super fun. And I think that it's going to be a sleeper party hit when people actually discover it. Because, like, everybody who was playing behind me was like, is this out now? Can I play it? Like, I would totally put $16 back right now. And I was like,
is it selling it short to call, like, a music-based Geometry Wars?
It's
It is. I would say that it's probably a
basic geometry wars.
I would say that it's more. Yeah.
What happened to Geometry Wars?
I still play it.
It's I mean, you know, geometry sucks.
Try to go with
Geometry
Wars. And
there's no shooting. You just exactly.
Guys, let Michelle speak. She'll kill you.
Yeah. This is like the time where we can speak together. When I'm describing the game, it's me time.
Okay, slap me.
Pulls out the machete.
I don't want to tell you what to do, but shut up.
Hey, Robert, what's your opinion? Shut up, Robert.
I didn't ask for your opinion yet. I'll let you know when you can have one. So I highly, highly recommend that you check it out. Really, really fantastic, fun game. And then the other game that I played that really is just stuck with me the last couple days. It's in Super Alpha. I'm going to bring up my phone because I specifically don't want to mess this up.
Breaking your rule right now, by the way.
No, I know, but I have
the
notifications
captain.
Turned off, and I'm the captain now. The game's made by Imagine Pro, imgn.pro. And they're a company that I had never heard of before, and I'd gotten a bunch of their emails, and by chance, I just happened by their booth. And they have a game that very much reminds me of Valiant Hearts.
Mm. Oh, really? I love that game.
It's a game that's called My Memory of Us. Now, again, it is in Super Alpha. Like, they have Alpha all up on the screens. The guy that I did the demo with, as well as their lead creative director, was like, look, we know we have a lot of bugs in here. We're going to fix all of this shit. I was like, I appreciate your adult language use, so I'm with you now. Let's talk about it. He's like, but we're really excited about where this game is going, and we would love to show it off. And I was like, great, I got my coffee. Let's do this.
Whip it out.
And so the way that the game works, the way that the game works is that it is a escort type game. So there are two characters, a boy and a girl, and the story frame is set in war-torn Poland. And these two kids are trying to escape all of the atrocities that are going around them. It also has a very Pleasantville feel because the art style, which is almost looks hand-drawn computer animation, is tones of gray, and the accent color for everyone is black. So red. So different characters have red on their jackets or to call their attention to them. But other than the one accent piece here or there in the level or on the person, everything are these shades of gray because it's a really war-torn town.
I mean, that's just, like, great game design, honestly, because, like, you know, if you look at The Last of Us, for example, mm-hmm. like Naughty Dog, with the way that they have, like, yellow for, like, things that you can, like, climb up on, like that.
Same thing with this War of Mine.
Yeah, this War of Mine, too. I was thinking that, too, because of the war.
I mean, also, I was kind of getting, like, the Schindler's List with the red balloon, like,
exactly.
Like, very artsy.
And so it is a puzzle platformer that side scrolls.
Cool.
And so the way that it works is, and their puzzles very much are not for the meek, which I like. They're not simple, like you're going to see it and just like
ooh,
right
press the button,
visual,
now
like
I can go through, yay!
You're done. And
once done.
The interesting mechanic is that the two characters are on screen all the time. And so you can play it single player or multiplayer with another person. And so if it's single player, you can choose to at times link up and hold hands with the brother or the sister. You can switch whether or not the brother leads or the sister leads, which you'll do as you solve different puzzles because they each have different movements. So the sister can run. So if she leads, they can do dashing. The brother can sneak. So if you have to get around enemies, which the enemies are primarily robo-Nazis.
Okay.
To get around them, you would want to use the brother and switch to lead. You can also split them up. So there are different, you know, puzzles where you'll need one to operate a lever, and you'll have to sneak another one into another room and then do different platforming things to get them around.
So it's a little bit like Brothers.
It is a little bit like Brothers. And so
Brothers
I would say, like, if you took... And this one's going to do it as well, because what's interesting to me is, for those who are old enough in the room and watched it, the design style of the kids and many of the characters in the game is very much like Kids Next Door.
Oh,
yeah. Sweet and adorable and soft, so you immediately make a connection with them and want to get them through the puzzles. There's one where you have to get an energy unit brought online, and so you open up a converter kit, and to open up the converter kit, you first have to figure out how to open up and solve to get a wrench box unlocked. Then you can go, and you can go to the energy box, and then you have to figure out how to connect all the wiring to actually get the secondary power box out there. So it is very much designed to be a game for an older generation generation, one that can appreciate the story that's going on. There's hidden propaganda that's in the game that you can discover and put out there. And so, you know, on the complete other side of just stupid, you know, fun, this was a very emotional game. Like, just from the moment you look at it, and it's clever in the way that they use their characters to tell this story.
It sounds like my jam, honestly. Yeah.
Like, I highly, highly recommend it. They are in the indie space. They're near to Devolver if you're at the show floor, so I highly recommend it. It's one of those ones that, you know, I got an email about and I didn't really pay attention to, and I'm glad that I just happened by it because it was a really fantastic experience.
Nice. And awesome. I loved Valiant Hearts. That was my jam.
I cried like a bitch.
What happened to Valiant?
Well, there are several different stories. It was a love story that went wrong, a father-daughter story also gone wrong, bombs are happening.
There's a dog in there.
There's a dog, and you're like, please don't hurt this dog.
I lose it when people hurt
dogs. It was beautiful.
All right, so we are coming up on time for the podcast here. I want to thank each of you for joining us. Don't forget to plug all your shiz.
Find my show. I am on a podcast with my two hosts, Holy Goalie and Nick DiNicola. I am the ringleader. Nick DiNicola is a smart one. Holy Goalie is insanely funny. And we're a gaming podcast by adults, for adults. And you can find us at gamehounds.net. We record live. We actually broadcast live. So you can join us live as we're broadcasting every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And you can find us on Spreaker. And that's Speaker with an R, Spreaker.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on iHeartRadio. You can find us on SoundCloud and a bunch of other places. But you can find all those links by going to GameHounds.net.
Thank you for having me on the show. If you want to check out my work, WWG.com and RetroZap.com. We are actually recording an episode later today. Mm-hmm. You guys are welcome to come back and join us.
I also do a podcast as well, brand new, just getting off the ground, called The Culture Dudes. We will be recording.
Billy Nichols.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With Billy Nichols.
I know Billy.
Yes, a lot of people do. That's definitely what I've gathered the most on my trip here. But no, it's a lot of fun. We'll be doing a PAX East roundup show later this evening. First episode's up on iTunes, I believe. You can check that out. It's a lot of fun. It's all pop culture, comics, anime, movies, whatever you can think of.
And I'm blessed to be a part of the Electric Sisterhood, who have given me a voice on their website.
You have the voice. We just gave you a microphone. You have the voice.
Just go.
There. Here's the soapbox. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Evan's doing this thing again. Stand back.
For giving me the voice here on the Electric Sisterhood, for having my stuff on Boston Bash Brigade, be it my anime reviews, my No Borders No Race podcast, which is the J-pop and alternative hotspot, and my one-on-one interview series where you're going to hear some developer interviews after PAX East. So consider that like a sister show to this PAX East roundtable. And I do want to also give a big shout out to my buddies Andrew and Jonathan Fleming from Wicked Anime, who have opened up a seat for me, making me an official member. You can check them out at nerdyshow.com/wicked-anime, where we talk about anime, geek stuff, fetish of the week, fan service, and some cool stuff like these cute little plushy things. It's Shiro from No Game No Life. Thank you, Sanchi, for making this. I'm so happy.
Maybe you come here often?
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I have felt the most positive in a weekend that I have felt, because my social has been filled with nothing but games and parties and you people, and it is just fantastic to have. So I want to thank you guys all for joining us on the show and for being part of the community and being part of PAX. I'm going to do our little bit of business here and end it really quickly. I'm not going to go through all the business. You can interact with us on Facebook, landofesh.com, facebook.com/landofesh. You can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at ESH News. You can get our podcast in pretty much everything on the planet, including iTunes.
Lift up your shoe. Our podcast is
there. It's probably there. Stitcher Radio, Google Play, coming soon to iHeartRadio, on our website. Definitely make sure that you check that out. If you've got Apple News and you live that life, you can get our reviews in there as well. So favorite us and find us in Apple News. But as always, I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Candelicious.
And until the next time, guys,
stay classy. And don't be dicks.